I can't tell you how many times in my life I have thought of something in the future that I thought, when that happens, then everything's gonna really work out. Mm-hmm. When that happens, things are gonna be good. I'm gonna really feel happy then. And it's usually not such a conscious kind of thought, but it's more of an intuitive sense. It's an acknowledgement that there's some lack right now, and that when that happens, mm-hmm. then it'll work out. Mm-hmm. Right? We all know this. So, through that lens, I saw an episode in this week's parasha in a different way. It says, this is the story of Isaac. Ve'ele toldot Yitzchak, ben Avraham, son of Avraham. Avraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took to wife Rebekah, daughter of Betuel the Aramean of Paddan Aram, sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord responded to his plea, and his wife Rebekah conceived. So we can imagine, certainly for anybody who has experienced infertility, the thought of having a child, the promise of having a child, is often something that feels like that will make my life make sense. If there was this child, then things would make sense. And we can think about this more in a metaphorical sense as well. We think, when this idea or when this project, if that could only happen, then things will work. And so Isaac goes on behalf of his wife and he pleads to God and he asks God, and God answers his prayer. Sounds like everything is going to work out okay. But the children struggled in her womb, and she said, and JPS translates it, if so, why do I exist? Im ken, lama ze anochi. Yeah, if this is so, why am I? So she gets what she was looking for, and yet there's struggle. She's experiencing that which she thinks is going to be the answer to that sense of not being fulfilled. And yet there's this struggle within her, which brings up this whole existential crisis. If that which I think if the thing that I think is going to make my life make sense, if in the midst of experiencing it, I'm experiencing struggle, then why do I exist? It brings up a question, a fundamental question about her existence.
Or her perception of her existence.
Or her perception of her existence.
Because it could be that struggle is part of it that she didn't anticipate.
Right? So she didn't anticipate the struggle. Great. So we'll come back to that in a minute. Absolutely. So it says, she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord answered her. Two nations are in your womb, two separate peoples shall issue from your body. One people shall be mightier than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So it's a fascinating response to her prayer. I imagine she was looking for an answer like, don't worry, they'll settle down, there won't be the struggle, it's all going to be okay. It's just indigestion. But instead, God says, they're going to struggle. And in fact, this is going to lead to a larger struggle. And so, I want to return to what Dan said. How might we perceive these issues for ourselves. Right? We look at our lives and we think, when that happens, then I'll be happy. And sometimes we're lucky enough for those things to happen, and then we experience struggle. And then we say, wait, this is exactly what I wanted, but it's not what I wanted. And so if this is the case, what good is any of this? Mm-hmm. Right? It brings up an essential issue. And so one thing that I think is so powerful about this practice of just being with whatever arises is that as we sit, we experience struggle. We feel forces wrestling within ourselves. We might think, here I am with friends, it's quiet all day, so much noise, it's quiet, I'm gonna sit, I'm gonna feel so happy. And then we're quiet and we sit and we feel struggle. We feel noise, we feel movement that might not be comfortable. We think thoughts that we might not want to be thinking. And we struggle against them. And so the method in this practice is not to let that struggle overcome us. So we can, in a sense, imagine what things might have been like if Rebecca had felt that struggle. And instead of seeing it as inherently problematic, what would it have been like if she embraced those two children that were struggling within her? If she just met them with love. If she met the struggle with a deep acceptance, a radical acceptance, and responded with love. So this morning we had a funeral. And every time I officiate at a funeral, I am just struck with the power of the traditional language. We begin by acknowledging the truth. Baruch Dayan Emet. Blessed is the judge of truth. And we tear a ribbon. We acknowledge the loss. We acknowledge the tearing that has occurred. We acknowledge the truth. And it's not a truth that we like. But we acknowledge it. We feel the conflict. We feel the pain. We feel the loss. And we just look at it. We acknowledge it. And then towards the end of the funeral service, at the burial, we do something that the tradition calls an act of chesed shel emet, which I like to translate as an act of love in response to this truth. And so we, and that is the placing of earth over the casket, the burying of the body. And so we acknowledge the truth, and then all we can do is respond with love, is respond with chesed. And I think that is really incredibly powerful. That is our way forward. As we sit, whatever comes up, the practice is to respond to the truth of what is there with love, with chesed. And through paying attention, we start to have a different perception of that struggle. We start to have a different sense for what happiness could be. We start to think differently about what the joy that might be possible in this moment is all about. Is our happiness really predicated on all those things that we want to happen, that might happen, but usually when they do happen, they don't satisfy us? Or are we somehow able to touch a kind of joy that is expansive and that is not predicated on anything. And so as we sit now, I really want to invite you to just feel the fullness of each moment. And as we pay attention, we pick an object of awareness, our bodies, our breath as it comes in and out, the flow of consciousness, sounds that we hear. And then we are aware of all the chatter, everything that comes up in response habitually to whatever we see, to whatever is real right now. And so as we sit, we practice chesed. We practice love. And it's through this love that we come closer to joy.